$1.5 trillion over the next decade. Yesterday, they released their plan on how to do it.
Make no mistake, the savings that we are proposing will impact on all 50 states and many districts, congressional districts across America.
But Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says they'll actually be spending more money on specialized operations like the Navy SEALs. 31 people are dead in another bombing in Baghdad. Police say the target was a Shiite funeral procession. They were mourning victims who died in a shooting the day before. A new government study says not enough people are being screened for cancer. The CDC's Dr. Marcus Plescia says minority groups are particularly affected.
We're concerned that we're still seeing lower rates of participation in screening for Hispanics and for Asians, and that really holds across all of the screening tests.
People who were on board the Costa Concordia cruise ship when it capsized in Italy will get just under $15,000 in compensation. Costa Cruises worked with consumer groups to come up with that number. This is CNN Radio.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees. You're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Home Depot store for details.
Pressure is building on Greece to pass more budget cuts and a series of long-promised austerity measures before the European Union and IMF hand over any more bailout money. That's according to Reuters, which says many European investors are beginning to bet the desired outcome will happen rather than the feared chaotic default, which could set off a debt domino effect across the continent. Right now, European stock indexes are holding near flat. Japan's Nikkei finished just a few points under break-even. S&P futures, though, gaining 2 points. NASDAQ futures up 8, Dow futures up 21. This week we told you Apple sold 37 million iPhones in the fourth quarter 2011, which looked like enough for Apple to be crowned the world's top smartphone seller. Turns out it is. This morning Samsung, former number one, now number two, says it sold 35 million smartphones last quarter, but that's plenty good enough for the company to say earnings were up 17% to 4 trillion won, Korean equivalent to $3.5 billion. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give Quicken Loans a call today at 866-QUICKEN. That's 866-QUICKEN. Or go to QuickenLoans.com. The Quicken Loans Yorgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us. And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now, First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Booyah! Yep, it's a Booyah Friday. Welcome. Welcome back. We're going to wrap it up this glorious week on this Friday, the 27th day of January 2012. Can you believe we're almost to the end of January? It seems like the year just began and already we're a month into it. Whew. Where does the time go? Only 11 more months till Christmas. All right, I'm pushing a little bit, but you get my point. It's just flying by, sweet God. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Again, booyah to you one more time. It is a Friday. We have an amazing amount of information to get to you today. I seriously don't know how we're going to get it all in. We will. But unlike sausages, we know how this is made. Want to direct you to the First Shift Facebook page, where we've got our poll question of the day waiting for you. Is it time to legalize marijuana for both recreational and commercial use in Michigan? I haven't checked it in a while, so let me do that now and give you an update. Early on, just a couple votes, so go on and check that out on the Facebook page over the First Shift Facebook page. what do we got going on today? George Sinus, I think that's how we say his last name, but Jeff will correct me if I'm wrong, will be with us to talk about no-fault auto insurance, an update on a story that we've been covering now for a multitude of months. So we'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour, as well as visit with Kay Hellinen, who's going to tell us about a job fair, Jobs with Justice, joins us at 7:35, 7:50. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift, and of course, just after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano, our political insider, the man with the plan, will be with us to round out this Friday. And of course, it wouldn't be a Friday without him. Wow. All right, let's get
going. Before you punch in for your First Shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Yes, our first word today, excuse me, I don't know what's going on, but anyway, our first word today, ladies and gentlemen, is workplace. And the reason I chose workplace, which is a word, the reason I chose workplace is because I was thinking last night as I was doing some writing that we talk a lot about community on this show, and certainly a community that we spend a lot of time in personally is our workplace. No matter where you work, there is a great deal of time spent in that workplace, and that becomes an important part of our community. You know, we live in separate communities. The one we physically live in, where our home's at, that's a community. Our family dynamic's another kind of community. Our work dynamic is another kind of community. Our social structure is another kind of community, and so the workplace is an important part of that community, because that workplace is where we share our ideas. The highs and the lows of our days happen there. And often times the people we spend our days with working, we spend more time with them than we do with our own families, our blood families. So that workplace becomes an important part of that community dynamic. How do you treat your workplace? Do you treat it in that way? Maybe you should. Maybe you should stop and take a look at your workplace and see if you're treating it properly. Just say it. So our first word today, asking you to put a little focus on it, is the workplace. And thank you very much. By the way, before we welcome Jeff Radford back to the program, we are three people away from having 900 likes on Facebook. Or better, more appropriately, because the goal's 1,000, 103 people away. But if we can get to 900 before the end of the show today, I'd be pretty happy with that. And here's the problem that I've run into. A lot of you friend me on Facebook on the personal side. And again, I have no problem accepting those friend requests, as you know. I'm at a pretty much the same amount of friends at on the personal side than I am with the likes on the First Shift site. But I know that, you know, a lot of you mean to connect with First Shift, and that's fine that you do it that way. But, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things that I want. I want that 1,000, that magic 1,000. So if we can get to 900 by the end of the show today, I need three people in the next 3 hours. I think we can do that. So if you go to Facebook and just search for First Shift and like the First Shift page, I would appreciate it. If you want to go back and have me friend you on Facebook as well, that's fine. But we're trying to get those likes up. All right. With that said, let's turn our attention now to Jeff Radford. I'm facing, in my world, a sportsless weekend because I am not the fanatic that both you and Anthony are. The All-Star game for hockey doesn't do anything for me. The Pro Bowl does absolutely nothing for me. So I'm basically staring a no-sports weekend in the face, and frankly, I don't freaking like it. Jeff, good morning.
Well, good morning. And, yeah, I'm not into the Pro Bowl at all. I didn't even remember that it was this weekend, to tell you the truth. I mean, I knew it was, but it wasn't, like, on my radar to turn it on. Actually, the hockey All-Star game I would be more into, but even that, it's not like I'm going to check out the skills competition or... I'll probably watch the game. Yeah, Anthony's hyped up about it.
Yes, he is.
But I'm not so much into that. But I don't know if you've seen though the story that is still lingering. Which I mean, I know me and you can't believe probably, but Tim Thomas not going to the White House is continuing to stick around. That tells you either that it's a really slow time in sports, or that for some reason people are really interested in it,
or both. Or both. Yeah, I read an article, maybe you did, you sent me the article that said, hey, listen, don't make too much of this Tim Thomas thing because he's basically an asshat anyway.
Yeah, his teammates really don't, I mean, not that they don't like him, they know who he is, but he is kind of a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically not a guy you want to hang with.
And he makes it, it's funny because he said this is not political. He makes it very well known in the locker room that he is ultra super conservative, and actually one of their teammates is they call him the anti Tim Thomas because he's I can't remember what the guy's name is, but he is completely the opposite way. He's very liberal, and you know most of the guys I guess are fall right in the middle moderates, but they said that the two guys get along well enough to be teammates. I mean the guy says, look, it's not a surprise to us that Tim didn't show up. I mean we've hashed this out in the locker room before. So no one on the Bruins really cares about him not showing up. They realize that's what he was going to do in the first place. It's just people like us that are surprised by it.
And Jeff, you know, this may or may not come as a surprise to you or anybody else. One of my dearest friends in the world is just moving back into. In fact, he was here, my buddy from college, Don. He sat in the studio with me one day months ago.
Right.
Don's an ultra-conservative. And he's one of my best friends in the world. We talk almost every day. We email each other once or twice a day. I mean, we're incredibly close. We just don't agree on politics.
Same here. One of my closest friends, very, I would say he's very conservative, but it falls mostly, well, it's kind of hard to stay away from money. I was going to say it falls mostly financially, but very conservative guy, and we it's fun though because you have different views on things. Like he'll say things that I never really thought of, and I'll take into consideration, but I'm still going to keep my views.
Well, and again, it's not like the only thing we have in common is politics. And you know the reality is most people, and I don't know, I can't put a percentage on it, but the vast majority of people are apolitical. But part of our frustration on this show is we're trying to turn people onto politics. We need them to be more engaged, and unfortunately, you know, they're not. I mean, the majority of people just are apolitical. Even those that vote, a lot of people that vote really have no idea. They don't even know why they're a Republican, or they don't know why they're a Democrat. If you were to ask them, they don't know. Well, you know, whatever. That is what it is, and our job, of course, on a daily basis is to educate, inform, and empower. But that, you know, outside of what we do, it's not like, you know, in my contract it says I can only talk politics with people, or I can only have friends that are Democrats. Certainly my contract does not state that, nor would I ever sign a contract that stated that. Don and I have been friends since, our sophomores in college, which is when we met, and, I'm happy to have him back in Michigan. You know, he and I share a love of fishing. We have lots of things in common. So, yeah, this idea that, you can be separate but equal.
You know what's funny is I've talked to a few people lately, ever since, you know, I've been interested in the show, and I started asking people, you know, and I know it's not the kosher thing to do. You're not supposed to go up to people and be like, hey, are you into politics? Because immediately they get defensive, like, well, wait a minute, what are you asking? That isn't kind of personal, isn't it? And a lot of people are like, you know what, I really don't get into politics. I don't like politics. And I found that it's not the truth. Like, people think that. I think what they don't like is politicians. But if people are a lot more political than they actually think they are. I go, oh, okay, you're not into politics. So that means, you know, you don't, you think that you're fine with the taxes we're paying. No, everyone has an opinion on, you know, how much taxes or the debt or, abortion or, yeah, you know, every issue that you face in life is politics. And people don't realize that. They just, you know, oh, I'm not into politics. I could care less who wins the election. Well, that's politicians. But you do care about what's going on in the country in your life. I mean, everything, every aspect of your life is affected by politics.
Absolutely, that's true. All right, a quick break here. We'll just get to whatever we're going to get to on the other side. 888-552-3595. What's so funny, Anthony? Huh? 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 Kick your ass. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Trupiano, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. 3 likes on Facebook gets us to 900 today. I want to see that number. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Plenty of accidents out there on the freeways right now. Northbound 275 after Ann Arbor Road, we have an accident there. Blocked the left lane. Traffic's backed up about a mile. Northbound 75 at Dix-Toledo Road. We have only the right lane open, so that's causing some pretty heavy delays there as well. Lots of spinouts. Cut back on the speed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, snow this morning, a high near 38. Tonight, snow likely after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low around 28. And then tomorrow, snow likely mainly in the early afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's snowing and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDPW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310
WDTW.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks again for punching in on this Friday, January 27th morning. The roads are, by the way, a little bit threatening out there, so you want to be careful. Jeff and I compared notes when Anthony and I got here. We had a similar experience. Thank God for that 4x4, Jeffrey. Got me here safely without any incident at all. In fact, the only time I did any sliding at all was in the parking lot here.
I wasn't so lucky. I slid into a, well, not, I shouldn't, it sounds bad when you say, well, I slid into a curb, but I was making a turn and, you know, you hit the brakes to make the turn and I slid and it, you know, my car slid until it bumped and brushed lightly against the curb and then I hit the gas and went. But it was enough to warn me, like, okay, it's going to be pretty slick out today.
Well, the expressway was a lot just wet. That was, so it wasn't nearly as slick as the other roads. So.
Yeah, I take back roads to get, because there's train tracks that I'm trying to avoid so I don't have to sit there for a train and all kinds of, so I take a kind of a weird route. And I asked Anthony when you guys came in, how was the drive? And he said, oh, we didn't see another car. And it's funny because it's all I saw. I saw like four or five trucks, which I normally don't see another car, you know. But I saw four or five plows this morning.
Well, I did see a couple county the salt trucks out, but only a couple. And I would guess that, you know, we've been here for an hour and a half now. So I would guess that, you know, there's a lot more salt on the road now than there was when we ventured out this morning. And people do, of course, need to be careful. I'm always amazed. Anthony and I were, you know, driving home one day, and I said to him, you know, it always blows my mind that I don't know what it is about it raining, but it'll rain, and all of a sudden traffic gets all messed up. And it's rain! Sweet God, what the hell is that all about? I don't get it. People just get really weird when it comes to driving. I don't understand it, because it's not that hard.
No, especially if you live in Michigan, you should kind of get used to it. I remember.
Oh, you think?
I know. I listened to a radio show out of Los Angeles, and the guy always makes jokes about if there's one drop of rain in Los Angeles, they freak out because they're not used to that kind of weather, I guess. But you know, here we get all kinds of dangerous weather.
That kind of weather, yes. That wet thing.
That once in a while raindrop kind of weather.
All right. Well, my buddy Patrick just sent an email, Jeff. So we need to do some updating. He wants to know whatever happened to that bagel place that we had on the show. He's of course talking about the Detroit Institute of Bagels, and you and I are happy to inform this audience they did find a physical location in Detroit. They're not open yet, but they will be opening soon, and when they are open, we will let the audience know.
And their bagels were delicious.
They were delicious. He also says, does Taco Bell and White Castle support or contribute to trying to pass the marijuana bills? They should. Best munchy food. Have a good weekend. So
interesting enough, both of those fast food restaurants or fast food places have been linked to getting liquor license.
Really?
Yeah. Well, White Castle nationwide is looking to get a liquor license, and I think I've read stories about individual Taco Bells, depending, I don't know what states they're in, but getting a liquor license.
I just am seeing literally, and the irony is really quite surprising, but there's literally, as I'm talking, a story on Taco Bell that they're going to start offering breakfast in all of their stores by 2014. Now, that's some planning.
Breakfast burrito. McDonald's has a delicious breakfast burrito.
Actually, you know, they do have a delicious breakfast burrito. I'll give you that. I think McDonald's has a very good breakfast. The rest of the menu I could do without. But, in fact, last Saturday, my grandson was over, and he had a couple of his cousins with him. So there were the three little kids. I didn't really have anything to serve them for lunch. So I offered to go get them McDonald's because I know kids love McDonald's, which, of course, they did. And so since I was going, and my son was there, so I, you know, said, hey, do you want something? So he ordered something. So I thought I'd get a burger and fries. I hadn't really eaten at McDonald's in a long time, and now I remember why. It was just not good. It was not good. But that's just my personal opinion. Anyway, we don't need to get into all that. And I know you're not a fast food guy anyway, Jeff.
No, it's been a while.
You're just not a... And you don't... And I don't either. You do eat Subway, right?
I don't consider it fast food.
It is fast, but...
All those sandwich shops, though. You know, do you consider Qdoba and places like that fast food?
No, not really.
All right, because those are the ones, the Southwest joints, I guess. Because there's one in Ann Arbor called Moe's. I really like that one. And the sandwich shops, I don't consider fast food either.
Yeah, I mean, I just recently have discovered Subway. Anthony helped me discover Subway. But I'm a big fan of Jimmy John's as well.
See, Jimmy John's, I've had it once or twice. I'm not. I like Potbellies. You ever had Potbellies?
Never had Potbellies.
Oh, you got to try Potbellies.
Well, there's one in Dearborn. That's that. Okay, 888-552-3595. The president, by the way, is in Michigan as we speak. Got here last night safely. Is staying somewhere in Ann Arbor, obviously. He'll be speaking at the University of Michigan today. The 3,100 tickets that they have to give away disappeared very fast. He's a popular guy right now. In case you didn't see the papers or the First Shift Facebook page, I posted this last night. The president is doing quite well in the polls here in Michigan. In fact, the last time polling was done, Romney was beating him. This time, the president's 8 points ahead of Mitt Romney, which is good news. But it'll be interesting to see what the president has to say today. We'll go to the phones. Welcome Tom in Detroit to the show. Tom, thanks, and thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
Out of my Friday morning mind.
Yeah, I remember. I miss Bob Talbert. I do miss Bob Talbert. Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know if you saw Let It Rip last night with Hugh Perkins on Channel 2.
I did not.
Well, Jimmy Johnson was on there, and it ran out of his mouth that President Obama has been a total failure. And I'm going like, what world is this man living in? You know, and I understand, you know, you got to try and make your opponent look bad. But, come on. When you look at what President Obama has accomplished in terms of his campaign promises. I mean, the man has been a virtual success. I mean, everything that he did, he get everything? No, he didn't. But I mean, you know, the heavy stuff, yes, he did. And I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I mean, let's go ahead and face it. And I mean, I believe in giving credit where credit is due. Had he not continued the loans to General Motors and Chrysler, where would we be? I don't think we would have had an auto show. But, you know, and that kind of thing. But to sit there and say that the man is a total failure, I mean, come on, people. You know, you got to do more than look at the world through those.
Well, you know, let me just say, you know, and I absolutely have no respect for Jim Johnson. In fact, mm-hmm. the reason that he was a rock and roll DJ is because he obviously doesn't have any metal as a political talk show host, or he'd be doing it. And so I have no, I have, I, he, as far as I'm concerned, he's got no chops. He certainly Tom doesn't do anything based in fact or in truth, and I have no time, and whether it's a caller to the show or somebody like Jim Johnson, listening or following that stuff, because frankly, I don't care to kowtow to people like that. You know, if somebody wants to listen to somebody like Jim Johnson, let them.
Yeah.
But all it does is help our side. Tom, we got to get to the break. Thanks for the call.
Okay, Tony.
You bet. Thanks for the call. 888-552-3595. GOP debate last night. We'll listen to some of it on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Plenty of accidents out there on the freeways right now. Southfield Freeway southbound at 7 and 8 Mile. We have two different accidents there. Also, M14 eastbound at Beck Road. Big accident downriver. Northbound 75 at Dix-Toledo Road. We have an accident there blocking the two left lanes. While the right lane is open. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service. Today, snow mainly this morning, a high near 38. Tonight, snow likely late, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And then Saturday, snow is likely, mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's foggy and snowing at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is David Hecker.
There is a surplus, and the key is we have to spend it. You know, an awful lot of times people say, well, let's stick it away in a quote-unquote rainy day fund. And, you know, the line I'm going to use has been used by many people many times, but it's pouring outside. You know?
Yeah.
This is when we need to spend it.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on 1310 WDTW.
Great news, people. A hot spot of non-spotted ladybugs has been spotted in Amagansett, New York. This uplifting story is a rich organic mixture of state pride, nature's resilience, America's scientific pluck, teamwork, serendipity, and bug love. In today's hard times, we need this. Let's start with the bug. This ladybug is the classic Cochinellidae beetle with exactly 9 black spots on its red back. A benevolent and delightful creature, it's beloved by everyone from children to farmers. So beloved that it is the official insect of New York State. Sadly, and somewhat embarrassingly, however, this state official has bugged out of the state. The last recorded sighting of this ladybug species in New York was 29 years ago. Apparently a victim of competition from imported Asian and European ladybug species, as well as pesticides and the loss of habitat, only 90 of the native 9 spotteds have been seen in all of North America in the past decade. But since 2000, a team of diligent Cornell University entomologists and volunteers have kept up the search through Cornell's Lost Ladybug Project. The searchers persisted, even when New York's legislators tried in 2006 to abandon the bug that seemingly had abandoned the state. Luckily, though, legislative inertia killed that effort to replace the state insect, and the Ladybug Project kept faith and kept looking. Then, this summer, lo and behold, a volunteer spotted one sitting pretty as you please in a patch of sunflowers on an organic farm in Amagansett. About 20 more were subsequently found on the farm amidst rows of carrots, beans, and flowers, enough for the project to establish a reproducing colony, while also building confidence that more will be discovered. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with this bit of good bug news, go to lostladybug.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock, we are going to get to the GOP debate last night in just a moment. But before we do that, we want to go to the phones. Of course, your calls are always the priority here, so feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Richard to the show. Richard, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind today?
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. What's on your mind this morning, Richard?
Okay, I attended the MLK Day march and protest at the governor's house.
Yes.
And I've been kind of monitoring the situation real close lately, and it's my opinion that the mainstream Democratic leadership in our area, and definitely the ministerial leadership in Detroit, and most of the politicians, they're just not doing much of anything with the movement to repeal PA4. And I know there are a few people out there working hard, and Jessup's Michigan Forward organization and some of the Occupy folks, but it just seems pretty clear to me that even when I attended that event, that the mainstream folks, the big ministers, the politicians, even some of the city council folks, they're going to let this thing go down. Detroit's going to get a financial manager, and it's going to have drastic consequences for us and for the entire area. And I believe the only thing that even some of them are willing to do is to get it on the ballot so that they can help to draw out, a few more supporters for Obama, but they don't seem to have any strategy or will to create a strategy to win, to actually defeat the financial managers.
Well, I'm glad, Richard, that you separated Michigan Forward and Brandon Jessup's work and some of the Occupy Detroit folks from some of the others. Some of the ministers have been very proactive, as you know. Some of them have been a lot more proactive than others. Can they be doing more? We can always be doing more. Richard, I'm vastly concerned that they instill an emergency manager before they get the signatures that they do have coming certified and stop the insanity of what Public Act 4 is. In the process, and I think that you're right. I think that the emergency manager is inevitable. I think that I don't care what political party you belong to. I think they're resigned to the fact that it's going to happen. Instead of fighting harder against it, which is what you're suggesting they need to be doing, and I would agree with you, they seem to be doing less, not more. Flawed?
I mean,
yeah, that's flawed, no question about it.
Tony, they're doing so little. I mean, in one of these, you could get the amount of participants that we had on MLK Day, you could get that out of one of the mega churches in Detroit. The politicians, many of which whom are probably going to lose their jobs once the financial manager, or at least lose their salaries once the financial manager has been installed, are doing and saying absolutely nothing. And, I mean, it's just, I can tell you this, I have four family members who work for the city of Detroit. When the manager comes in, their contract status, they're going to be the first ones affected. They knew absolutely nothing about that march until I told them. They have not seen a petition. They have not, I mean, the labor unions to me are the main ones who have dropped the ball in this court, because if nobody else did nothing, all of their members should be out and about, and they're doing, close to nothing.
Well, the UAW has actually been very active with Public Act 4, so I'm going to have to defend them a little bit. The UFCW as well. Beyond them, I can't answer to that, Richard. But I'm going to go back to, again, something that I've said once. I'll say it one more time, and I want to thank you for your call and for your passion,
thank
by
you.
The way. I just want to make this very, very clear. We can all be doing more, and I think that's something, Richard, you and I can agree on. Again, if you'd like to join me, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. The Republican candidates debated again in Florida last night, where Newt Gingrich in the polls is doing exceptionally well. If he wins in Florida, the next contest, by the way, is, do you know where? Yep, Michigan. Absolutely. And that means, well, there's going to be a little time off because we have a whole month
between the Florida primary and the Michigan primary. With that said, CNN kind of sums up what happened last night. Let's listen to that.
I think we spend way too much time worrying about the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Use some of those resources on our own border.
Is he still the most anti-immigrant candidate?
I think of the four of us, yes.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not anti-immigrant. My father was born in Mexico. My wife's father was born in Wales. They came to this country. The idea that I'm anti-immigrant is repulsive.
All I want to do is allow the grandmother to be here legally with some rights to have residency but not citizenship so that he or she can finish their life with dignity within the law.
You know, they're not 11 million... They're not 11. Our problem is not 11 million grandmothers. Our problem is, all right.
Governor Romney owns shares of both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Governor Romney made $1 million off of selling some of that. Governor Romney owns share and has an investment in Goldman Sachs, which is today foreclosing on Floridians.
But have you checked your own investments? You also have investments through mutual funds that also invest in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
It seems that they both acknowledge they both made money from Fannie and Freddie. Should they return that money?
That subject really doesn't interest me a whole lot. The bigger issue here is these two gentlemen who are out distracting from the most important issues we have by playing petty personal politics. Can we set aside that Newt was a member of Congress and used the skills that he developed as a member of Congress to go out and advise companies, and that's not the worst thing in the world, and that Mitt Romney is a wealthy guy because he worked hard and he's going out and working hard, and you should guys leave that alone and focus on the issue.
How about if the four of us agree for the rest of the evening, we'll actually talk about issues related to governing America.
Mr. Speaker, you made an issue of this week when you said that he lives in a world of Swiss bank and Cayman Island bank accounts. I didn't say that. You did.
Look, let's put behind this idea of attacking me because of my investments or my money, and let's get Republicans to say, you know what? What you've accomplished in your life shouldn't be seen as a detriment. It should be seen as an asset to help America.
I'm willing to challenge any of these gentlemen up here to a 25-mile bike ride any time of the day in the heat of Texas.
I do not want to be the country that, having gotten to the moon first, turned around and said, it doesn't really matter. Let the Chinese dominate space. What do we care? I think that is a path of national decline.
This idea of going state to state and promising what people want to hear, promising billions, hundreds of billions of dollars to make people happy, that's what got us into the trouble we're in now. We've got to say no to this kind of spending.
Wolf, what Governor Romney said is just factually incorrect. Your mandate is no different than Barack Obama's mandate. It is the same mandate.
All right.
He takes over.
All right.
You take over 100%. Just like he takes over 100%, requires the mandate,
right.
The same fines that you put in place in Massachusetts are fines that he puts in place in the federal level.
All righty, and so that's kind of capitalization. Not that we don't have other stuff to get to, and we will. In fact, let's just get to it right now. Let's, Jeff, let's go to Newt Gingrich's 208 comments about languages and why English should be the official language.
We should replace bilingual education with immersion in English so people learn the common language of the country, and so they learn the language of prosperity, not the language of living in a ghetto.
All right. That begins a controversy that leads to this next exchange between Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney.
The rhetoric on immigration, Governor, has been intense, as you well know, as all four of you know, and anyone who watches television knows. You've had an ad running saying that Speaker Gingrich calls Spanish, quote, the language of the ghetto. What do you mean by that?
I haven't seen the ad, so I'm sorry I don't get to see all the TV ads. I don't know what did he say that?
What I said was we want everybody to learn English because we don't want, and I didn't use the word Spanish. We do not want anyone trapped in a situation where they cannot get a commercial job, they cannot rise, and virtually every parent of every ethnic group, and by the way, there are 94 languages spoken in the Miami-Dade College, 94 languages. And that's why I think English should be the official language of government, and that's why I think every young American should learn English. And my point was, no one should be trapped in a linguistic situation where they can't go out and get a job, and they can't go out and work. So I would say as much as Governor Romney doesn't particularly like my use of language. I found his use of language and his deliberate distortion equally offensive.
But stand by for that. We did double check just now, Governor, that ad that we talked about where I quoted you as saying that Speaker Gingrich called Spanish the language of the ghetto. We just double checked. It was one of your ads. It's running here in Florida on the radio. And at the end, you say, I'm Mitt Romney and I approved this ad. So it is. It is here.
Let me ask a question. Let me ask the Speaker a question. Did you say what the ad says or not? I don't know.
It's taken totally out of context.
Oh, okay.
I did not know. I did not say it about Spanish. I said in general, about all languages, we are better for children to learn English in general, period.
All right. So that's why, you know, we played what the ad said. And I don't know. Jeff and I were talking about this before the show. And talk about much ado about nothing. I just don't, you know, listen, first of all, in that 3 minute clip that we played, at one point they talked about, can we just talk about issues and stop all this vitriolic behavior towards each other? Come on, they have no interest in being nice to each other and just debating issues, do they? No. This has absolutely nothing to do with what political party you belong to. Where's the fun if they're not attacking one another? There's more to get to on the other side, including some funnies from Ron Paul. I think, Jeff, is Ron Paul your favorite?
Of the four remaining? Yeah, probably.
All right.
Entertainment-wise,
Well, of course. He is very entertaining, in fact. We'll get to some of that on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll come back and wrap up this hour on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is, Bob Ficano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Ficano has never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. And so I don't wish him ill, because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock. We have got a lot to get to yet in this hour, a lot to get to this morning, and it's going to go by quickly, which gets us to what faster, Jeff? There's your quiz question of the day.
The weekend.
Not the weekend. Sweet God. You know, for a guy that says that he travels on his stomach, that everything's about food, you really don't get the food thing today.
I was trying to stay away. I was tiptoeing around it.
Why?
I'm looking forward to chocolate chip pancakes.
Why
yes.
deny? Why deny what inherently is something you'd so desire? Don't deny yourself that.
We talked about food earlier. Remember the whole
I do.
Thought Bellies thing?
And I do. We cannot walk away from it. Okay, very quickly, a couple more pieces of audio. I got a great story that I just posted to the Facebook page about Ford Motor Company that I want to get to before we get out in this hour. But let's go back. Mitt Romney commented, you know, Newt Gingrich had the other day had talked about building a colony on the moon. Certainly what he likes to do, which is smart as a candidate, is when he's in a certain town or a certain state, he talks about what's important to that state. In Michigan, he'll talk about the automotive industry, I'm assuming. Anyway, this is what Mitt Romney had to say about Newt Gingrich's idea, we colonize the moon.
But go ahead, Governor Romney.
I spent 25 years in business. If I had a business executive come to me and say they wanted to spend a few hundred billion dollars to put a colony on the moon, I'd say you're fired. The idea that corporate America wants to go off to the moon and build a colony there, it may be a big idea, but it's not a good idea. And we have seen in politics, we've seen politicians, and Newt, you've been part of this, go from state to state and promise exactly what that state wants to hear. The speaker comes here to Florida, wants to spend untold amount of money having a colony on the moon. I know it's very exciting in the Space Coast. In South Carolina, it was a new interstate highway and dredging the port in Charleston. In New Hampshire, it was burying a power line coming in from Canada and building a new VHA hospital in New Hampshire so that people don't have to go to Boston. Look, this idea of going state to state and promising what people want to hear, promising billions, hundreds of billions of dollars to make people happy, that's what got us into the trouble we're in now. We've got to say no to this kind of spending.
Okay, I say that, you know, as things go, Mitt Romney basically put it in his face. But we'd promised a little Ron Paul fun, so let's just do that now and go ahead and play it.
Well, I don't think we should go to the moon. I think we maybe should send some politicians up there a time. But I went into the Air Force in 1962 and studied aerospace medicine. Actually had a daydream about maybe becoming the first physician to go into space. That didn't occur, but I see space, the amount of money we spend on space, the only part that I would vote for is for national defense purposes, not to explore the moon and go to Mars. I think that's fantastic. I love those ideas. But I also don't like the idea of building government-business partnerships. If we had a healthy economy and had more Bill Gateses and more Warren Buffetts, the money would be there. It should be privatized. And the people who work in the industry, if you had that, there would be jobs in aerospace. And I just think that we don't need a bigger and newer program when you think of the people. I mean, health care or something else deserves a lot more priority than going to the moon.
All right. Interestingly, Ron Paul also challenged every one of the candidates to a 25-mile bike ride in the heat of the Texas sun.
That's awesome. At this point, wouldn't that choose the candidate better than any other way?
I would suggest that Dr. Paul's probably the only one that could do it without fainting.
That would be impressive. Out of the four of them?
I can't see Newt Gingrich getting on a bike in the middle of the Texas sun in the summertime, 100 and something degrees with humidity at 100%. I just don't see Newt doing that, dude.
Can you picture like this race would be the greatest race ever? Like Newt would have like a parasol,
his stretchy pants on,
a parasol. And like,
oh, God.
And, like, he would have, like, the bike, as it spins the wheels, it would, like, have a fan blowing on him or something to keep him cool, right? And Mitt would be, like, in a tux, you know, all dressed to the nines in a fancy bike. I don't even know what Santorum and Paul would be serious, you know. He'd probably come out looking like Lance Armstrong in it.
Oh, that's just too funny. Anyway, but I don't think they're going to take him up on his challenge, but it was nice of him to offer that. This story just posted, Jeff. Incredibly good news. Ford will report a high fourth quarter profit for 2011. Operating profits in North America will allow Ford's 40,600 unionized workers to determine their profit sharing based on a simpler formula set forth in this year's new labor contract. Analysts and investors will zero in on the company's performance overseas because it won't be as good because of what's happening in Greece and other parts of the world. But ultimately, it looks like Ford is, you ready for this, Jeff? Ford is going to show a profit greater than the $8.3 billion reported in 2010.
Hey, very good news.
Yeah.
But does this support Mitt Romney's claim that that the government should have left the companies alone? Because Ford didn't take the bailout money, right?
Ford didn't take the, they weren't part of it. Yeah, so.
But good news nonetheless.
Good news. No, I mean, it's good news. I'm stunned. Ford lost, by the way, in 2006 through 2008, they lost $30.1 billion. But by the end of 2010, they obviously saw a remarkable turnaround. And this is really exciting news for the industry, and especially for those Ford workers that get profit sharing. Because this is going to be an amazing turnaround for this company, and they're going to reward the workers appropriately, which they should.
See, you're right. That's what should happen. Is it, you know, it should, when the company does well, they should share the profits with the people who made them the difference.
Yeah, and they are. I mean, and they are. Yes, I'm just very happy. I'm very happy for Ford Motor Company for a lot of reasons. They showed with uncommon leadership, you know, and I know that you look at the executive salaries at Ford and they are astronomically high. You know, is a guy really worth $23 million a year, Jeff? Well, kind of hard to, you know, argue against it when you're doing the profit-sharing thing and you're, you know, participating in that way and you're making sure you're taking care of your employees. Yes, $23 million is an excessive amount of cash. No question that's true. You know, it's as long as everybody's getting a piece of the pie, and it does look like everybody's getting a piece of the pie, that's groovy. All right, we in the next hour, we're going to take a look at an update, the no-fault auto insurance stuff going on in Lansing. We'll also look at a Jobs for Justice a jobs rally happening this weekend, and Occupy Detroit will be with us as well. They have another victory that we're going to talk about today. So you're going to want to stay where you're at. We've got traffic and weather coming up. Headline news with CNN. I'm Tony Trupiano. Let's take the break, and we'll continue right here on WDTW after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some problems on the Southfield Freeway southbound at 8 Mile. Two lanes are blocked. Only one lane is open. That's causing some pretty heavy delays. Also, 96 to Jeffries westbound at Grand River. They have a disabled vehicle there blocking the right lane. A few spin-out accidents still out there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, snow mainly this morning, a high near 38. Tonight, snow is likely late, mostly cloudy, a low around 28. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow is likely. Breezy winds out of the west-southwest as well, a high near 34. Right now, it's snowing in 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio. I'm Andy Rose. With just a few days to go before the Florida primary, things got a little testy at last night's CNN debate, including with the moderator. CNN's Wolf Blitzer asked Newt Gingrich about his attacks on Mitt Romney's wealth.
Mr. Speaker, you made an issue of this week when you said that he lives in a world of Swiss bank and Cayman Island bank accounts. I didn't say that. You did.
I did, and I'm perfectly happy to say that on an interview on some TV show, but this is a national debate where you have a chance to get the four of us to talk about a whole range
of
issues.
But if you make a serious accusation against Governor Romney like that, you need to explain that.
You want to try again? I mean,
wouldn't it be nice if people didn't make accusations somewhere else that they weren't willing to defend here?
Okay.
Florida voters go to the polls on Tuesday. The Pentagon is planning on cuts to the number of troops in the military as part of its plan to reduce spending by $500 billion over the next 10 years.
The military will be smaller and leaner, but it will be agile, flexible, rapidly deployable, and technologically advanced.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says that will actually include more spending on special forces. Those special forces rescued an American hostage in Somalia this week, along with her colleague from Denmark. President Obama told Leon Panetta, good job, just before the State of the Union.
At that time, we knew that she had already been recovered, along with the Danish hostage.
He spoke to Diane Sawyer last night on ABC News. The UN Security Council is having private talks today on whether to put more sanctions on Syria. Thousands of people reportedly have died since protests against the government started. Those protesters say security forces have been attacking them over and over again over the past several months. Another energy company that got U.S. government money is now bankrupt. Ener-1 made electric car batteries. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, knows you have the strength to perform. So when you buy a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for $20.99 or a Castrol Edge oil change special at Advanced Auto Parts, you'll get an official NFL hat for the team of your choice free by mail. At Advanced, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle by bringing you exclusive deals that will flip your lid. Service is our best part. See store for details.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
WellPoint, the nation's second-largest health insurance company covering 34 million Americans, is changing the way it pays doctors. Wall Street Journal says WellPoint will increase payments to primary family physicians by an average of 10%, with the possibility of additional payments that could increase what the docs get by as much as 50%. The company says it's angling for better initial patient care to prevent costlier care down the road. The smartphone business is turning into an Apple-Samsung contest. This morning, Samsung reports sales of its smartphones increased to 35 million in the fourth quarter 2011. That comes the same week Apple said it sold 37 million last quarter to claim the top spot. Samsung earnings up 17% to close out the year. Right now, most European stock indexes are trying to hold near flat. Japan's Nikkei finished just a few points under break-even. S&P futures right now, though, gaining 2 points. NASDAQ futures up 7. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees. You're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Only. See store for details.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock here on this Friday, the 27th day of January, 2012. A lot to get to in this hour. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to visit with Kay Hellinan from Jobs with Justice. There's a jobs rally this weekend we're going to let you know about. We'll check in with Occupy Detroit. But we also like to be mindful of some of the stories that we cover from time to time, and we like to update you on them. In this first story today, that is exactly what we will be doing. You'll remember that we've been talking about the automotive no-fault laws that the state legislature is trying to manipulate. House bills 4936 and Senate bill 649, more specifically, what we have reported on in the past. Part of the problem here is getting you the right information. Truth is another way of putting it. And so we wanted to make sure that we continued to update it. Crossing my desk earlier this week was a press release that the Coalition Protecting Auto No Fault, or CPAN, had filed a lawsuit against the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association, that's the MCCA, who I don't think is being quite honest with us. And that's, I think, probably the point of the Freedom of Information Act request that they're making. Joining me now is George Sinus. George is the general counsel for CPAN, and hopefully he'll help walk us through this whole thing. And again, I just want to, and for full disclosure, and the of course, I'm always concerned about truth and making sure you know what's going on so that we can fight those things that don't make sense. This would be one of them. George, thanks for joining us today on First Shift.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony. Thanks for asking me.
Let's get people updated here a little bit. Why is CPN requesting why do you have a FOIA request? What's this all about?
Well, you alluded to it in your opening comments. The legislation that's before the Michigan legislature would drastically change the Michigan auto no-fault law in a way that essentially eliminates it. And it does this by taking away our full lifetime medical coverage. We will no longer have full lifetime medical coverage if this bill passes. And the insurance industry is saying we need to change the law this way because the MCCA, which funds medical care above $500,000, is going to go broke in a few years if we don't make this drastic change. And they make that argument based upon data that is in the exclusive possession of the MCCA. And CPAN, which is an organization of major stakeholders in no fault, many medical groups, union groups, lawyer groups, consumer groups, has asked for information that will enable us to test the accuracy of these predictions, because we really question whether or not the data is being interpreted correctly. And so CPAN submitted this Freedom of Information request to the MCCA asking for very narrow, limited information about closed claims and open claims, age of the claimant at the time of the injury, et cetera.
Well, and George, if I recall correctly, and you'll of course correct me if I'm wrong, but the MCCA claims that the fund is underfunded and that it's going to go broke, and there's really nothing to suggest that that's true. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, that's the whole point. They say that their data shows that this is true. We say we don't see that in the information that has been presented, and so we're going a step further and saying, okay, produce this specific information, because we think if we had this information, that would be helpful to everyone. And they say, no, you can't have it, because we are not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. And, of course, CPAN says, yes, you are, and at issue is whether they are. That's what's involved here.
All right. Maybe I'm being nitpicky here, George Sinus, but let me ask this question. Let's just assume for a second I'm a state lawmaker. I'm a legislator. Shouldn't I have access to this information so I can make an informed decision?
Absolutely. And we have encountered a number of legislators who express that very point. They're saying, look, I don't like being in this position where I'm being asked to take away people's lifetime medical benefits without having all of the information at my disposal. And we say that's exactly the way all of our legislators should feel, that they shouldn't feel that they need to vote on this unless and until every bit of data that's relevant is on the table.
All right, at what level, and I realize you're not the MCCA, but at what level do they feel that they have a justified stance that they don't have to comply with the FOIA request? I mean, the law is the law. Is there precedence that says that they should be excluded from the law?
This issue has never been tested. We have the good fortune of being assisted by Professor Noah Hall from Wayne State University, who is an expert in FOIA. And as he has said on a number of interviews over the last several days, that in his opinion it's absolutely unconstitutional for the legislature to exempt the MCCA from FOIA in the manner that they attempted to do so in 1988, which is really a bill that's at the core of this dispute. And to get to your question, at what level are they immune? Well, CPAN says they're immune at the very basic level. They don't have to give up anything under FOIA. That's their point. We're not subject to FOIA. We say, yes, you are. And keep in mind, Tony, there's a very important point here. The MCCA was created by the legislature. They're not just some private company. They were created by our lawmakers, and they are funded by our premium dollars that we are forced to pay under penalty of law. So this is not a situation where some group like CPAN is attempting to dip into the private information of a private corporation. That's not the case here. This is a public body that you and me and all of your listeners are funding.
So let me understand this, George Sinus, as a holder of automobile insurance, and trust me, I pay more than my fair share. I actually, in my opinion, would have a legal right to know what it is that the MCCA is attempting to do. I actually, at this point, consider myself a shareholder in this because I'm paying into the system. Are they claiming at some level that I shouldn't have access to this information for any particular reason?
Yes. Here's what they're claiming specifically. They are saying, well, maybe on the face of FOIA, the MCCA would be required to cough up the information. But they point to a law that was passed in 1988, which I alluded to a moment ago. And that law, which is not part of FOIA, but is buried in some little nook and corner of the insurance code, says that the MCCA is not subject to FOIA. And CPAN, and in particular Professor Hall, points out you can't amend an existing statute by referring to it in another act. You got to go into the main statute. You got to change that statute on its face so everybody can see what you're doing. And that is what the MCCA is saying, that they have a right to say no to you because of this little 1988 law that was passed. And what this lawsuit that CPAN has filed will test is whether or not that 1988 law is a valid law in terms of exempting the MCCA from public scrutiny. It's the public's right to know and the correctness of legislation limiting that right that is at issue in this case, and that's why this case is so important.
What can we do? What can my audience do today to help affect change in this area? I mean, obviously, your request will be dealt with at some point by the courts, right?
Yes. Well, it's in the court system right now. But I think that if this is an important issue to citizens, then they should tell their legislators that, you know, don't vote on anything. Don't take a position on anything until you have all of the information at your disposal.
Well, George, wouldn't it just be downright damned irresponsible for them to vote on something they don't have the data on?
Well, I mean, you and I like to think that people should make decisions based on full knowledge. So that's the issue here.
This is just insane. I mean, at some very basic level here. I'd like to think that my lawmakers, and I'm not naive, I'd like to think my lawmakers are making decisions based on facts. And to have somebody in any industry tell me, well, you wouldn't understand the data or, you know, just trust us, well, that would be the first two red flags I would need to vote no.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I heard a comment the other day. It was real interesting. This person said to me, okay, well, let's just assume that the MCCA is right, that they don't have to give you this information under the Freedom of Information Act. And the person looked at me and said, but why don't they? What are they trying to hide? Why don't they give this information? What's the problem here? That's the issue.
Well, we can, you know, again, we can guess. I'm just going to, since they're asking me to guess, they're begging me to guess, they're forcing me to guess, I'm guessing we'll find out that not only is this fully funded, there's probably more money in that fund than they know what to do with, and they just don't want to play the game by the rules, and that's problematic. George, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to, again, ask my audience to reach out to your legislators, tell them, on the House side, Bill 4936, on the Senate side, 649.
Yes.
To vote no until you've got the information you need. In the meantime, once the FOIA request is dealt with, perhaps we'll have you back on and deal with it. I want to thank you for your time this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure being with you.
I appreciate it. This is problematic. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We're open lines on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Plenty of accidents out there. Southfield Freeway is southbound at 8 Mile. Two lanes are blocked. Only one lane is open because of an accident. On Southfield Brewery southbound at 7 Mile, we have another accident there on the right shoulder as well. 96 eastbound at Grand River, an accident there as well. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a chance of snow a little bit later on this morning, a high near 38. Tonight, snow is likely overnight, mostly cloudy, a low around 28. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Snow is likely, gusty winds out of the west as well. Right now, it's snowing and foggy, 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign web page facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trippiano.
And welcome back. It's 22 minutes after the hour. A little update. We are now up to 898 likes on Facebook, trying to get to that elusive 900, working our way to 1,000. If you have not liked the First Shift page on Facebook, today would be a stellar day for you to do that. So give it some thought and go ahead and mosey on over to Facebook, search for First Shift, and go ahead and like our page over there. We'd appreciate it. On the personal side of the Facebook universe, I have, picked up 300 or 400, 500 good friends since the show started. And happy to do that as well. I just would like to do that. We also have a poll question today. Is it time to legalize marijuana for both recreational and commercial use in Michigan? You can ring us up on that. And this idea. Going back to the last segment, this idea that we can ask legislators to vote on something, I think above all else, you know, throw everything else aside, that you would ask legislators to vote on something without giving them the complete set of tools and information they need to make that decision is just downright irresponsible. And I can't fathom, at least I would like to think, that there isn't a lawmaker in the state of Michigan that would vote on legislation without having all the facts at their fingertips. And yet that's exactly what the MCCA is asking them to do. Of course, CPAN is saying, not so fast. We'll see how that plays out. A shame that it has to go to the courts. I mean, that's the part that bothers me a great deal. If you're just joining us, by the way, and you're not aware, President Barack Obama will be in Ann Arbor today. He's expected to speak on the cost of college. Amongst the other things he may be talking about, that will be the overriding part of his speech. All right, very quickly, Vice President Joe Biden got himself into a little bit of hot water yesterday. And you need to listen closely because it's we may even have to play it a couple times. But let's just play the audio and then we'll come back and talk about what this was all about.
Even call centers was rushed overseas in the hundreds of thousands. How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your credit card, okay? Or that ad on TV. What is it, Nancy? This is Nancy. Can I talk to a supervisor, right? Okay. Well, it's a little overdone, but the truth of the matter is, these jobs now are paying about $19.50 an hour, if memory serves me.
All right, and he actually meant, instead of Nancy, he meant, of course, Peggy. So we're all familiar with those ads. But was he imitating? I mean, the controversy is that he was imitating an Indian, somebody from India. Did you hear that? I mean, is that real? I mean, it's kind of there, but he didn't. I don't know that he meant it in an offensive way. I think, Jeff, you made a good point before the show about, you know, people being a little oversensitive to that. And I would agree with that. I don't know. I think it's a little much. And we've all, by the way, most of us, if not all of us, have had that experience where we get a call from a call center in India where we have a difficult time understanding that person. I've had that experience more than one occasion and many more times than one occasion, and it gets very frustrating. It's even worse when it's the opposite, when you're calling especially tech support or something, and you get somebody that you can't fully understand. You know, they have very broken English. It's just tough, man. It's tough. I don't think that the vice president should be taking a lot of crap for that. At least I don't think so. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man? I just wanted to let everybody know about your Facebook page and how great it is. I mean, you keep me abreast on stuff on the weekends and everything, and it's just a valuable page. And if people haven't put a like on it yet, they need to, because there's a lot of good information to keep everybody abreast.
Well, you know, Will, I appreciate that. I try not to inundate. I try not to, you know, I try not to get to do too much, because I don't want it to be, I don't want to pester people.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I just, you know, want to be careful that, you know, we do keep people informed. So, you know, there's a balance right there. Sometimes I probably do a little more than I should. And other times, you know, I don't probably do as much as I should. So, but I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to call and say that.
I think you've got a good balance, Tony. Well, I think you got a good balance. I'm hooked to a lot of different pages, and I know what you mean about people overposting, and I find anything you post, I find it of value.
Well, no,
it would just be valuable to the listeners.
Well, I appreciate. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I try to be very careful to keep that balance, because I want to keep people informed. And there sometimes stuff comes to me that, you know, you're not going to find in another way. A lot of this stuff is, of course, available. And I just want to be careful that, you know, I don't inundate you folks. And I don't think I do. But, you know, I also belong to Facebook pages, and some people are a little heavy-handed, so I'm very careful, of course, not to do that, and I'm very good at that. Very quickly, before we get to break, I wanted to, because the president's in town, last night on ABC, the president talked about this idea that he's the food stamp president. This is something we've heard more than once, and I wanted to, it's not very long, but I wanted to share this audio with you in comments on it. Go ahead and play that, Jeff.
Well, first of all, I don't put people on food stamps. People become eligible for food stamps. Second of all, the initial expansion of food stamp eligibility happened under my Republican predecessor, not under me.
In South Carolina.
All right, play that again for me one more time. I'm sorry. It's all on me. I was distracted.
Well, first of all, I don't put people on food stamps. People become eligible for food stamps. Second of all, the initial expansion of food stamp eligibility happened under my Republican predecessor, not under me.
And why did that become more accessible? Anybody want to venture to guess what the answer to that is? It became more accessible, or they relaxed some of the qualification requirements for a very specific reason, because that was needed. I mean, that the irony, folks, is that the majority of times, the vast majority, 99.999% of the time, people are on assistance because they need assistance. This idea that people are living their lives, fulfilling their lives by living on assistance is just ridiculous. Some people, of course, do that. I get that. But the vast majority of people, the vast majority of people do not enjoy being on assistance. Most people would much rather live a satisfying and fulfilling life as a gainfully employed individual, do you think? Of course. Of course. Stop and think about that. Yes, there are people that take advantage of the system. You know what? You will never be able, and let me just make this clear, you will never be able to get around that, ever. We will never be able to legislate our way around somebody that wants to take advantage of the system. If there's a will, there's a way, and they'll find it.
Why is it okay for rich people to take advantage of the system, though, and not poor?
Well, of course it's not. But we kind of turn the other cheek, Jeff, don't we?
It's funny because, you know, Bachman takes advantage of the system, but she's rich, so yeah. It's okay.
You're right. A quick break here. Jobs with justice on the other side. Yes, there is such a thing. We'll get to that a whole lot more. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDGW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Southfield Torrey southbound at 8 Mile. We have an accident there, leaving only one lane open. Just after that, we have another accident on the right shoulder. Also, 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue, with an accident there on both shoulders. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a chance of snow showers, of course, a high in the upper 30s. Tonight, snow showers are likely, a low around 28. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Snow is likely, a high near 34. Gusty winds could gust around 40 miles per hour. Snow accumulation, 1 to 2 inches possible. Right now it's snowing and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Indiana's state senate will soon vote on a so-called right-to-work legislation passed by the Indiana House that severely weakens unions. If the senate passes it, Governor Mitch Daniels is expected to sign it before the Super Bowl is played in Indianapolis February 5th. Brian Buell is with Teamsters Local 135.
It's all a national plan to weaken unions. It has nothing to do with bringing new business in or individual freedoms that they claim. It's certainly it's just an attack on unions. Our focus is the next 5 days in the Senate. Even though the Republicans enjoy a 37-13 margin in the Senate, we got 22 votes against this legislation, so including 9 Republicans. And we're just trying to convince the senators that it's not in the best interest of Indiana, union and non-union alike.
The NFL Players Association has come out against the anti-union legislation, and Buell says a union action at the Super Bowl is possible.
The players have stepped up and said they don't want to come and play in a state that's dealing with this legislation, and so it may give us a national attention. I don't know if protest is the word. We can certainly come out in force, show our viewpoint.
In 2006, Governor Daniels told the Teamsters that he opposed right to work when he spoke to Local 135 in Indianapolis. At that time, the governor said he supported current labor laws and did not support a so-called right to work law. National Labor Relations Board Chair Mark Pierce says he will advance new rules to make it easier for workers to organize. The new rules will require businesses to turn employee contact information over to unions before union elections and will speed up the union elections process. These rules would expand changes that take effect April 30th, designed to also speed up union elections so employers can't endlessly delay them while they campaign against unions. The AFL-CIO says these changes are modest steps to create a level playing field for workers who want to form unions. The ILWU has reached a tentative agreement with the EGT company at the Port of Longview. In coming days, that agreement may be finalized, averting a major confrontation when a grain ship escorted by the Washington State National Guard arrives at the port. ILWU President Bob McElrath says the agreement is a win for both EGT and the ILWU. The tentative agreement came after the ILWU put out a national labor call to action to meet the scab ship at the docks, supported by the West Coast Occupy movement. Washington Governor Christine Gregoire helped the EGT and ILWU come together. EGT had tried to bust the ILWU at the Port of Longview. This newscast made possible in part by the AFL-CIO. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back, folks. Tony Trupiano with you. We've got more to get to. This is a busy hour. Next hour is going to be a busy hour as well. You got to pay attention because we're about to give you some great information. And in fact, Jobs with Justice is a great group you probably don't know enough about, and we're going to correct that right now. Kay Hallinan joins us now to talk about Jobs with Justice, but more importantly, a jobs affair this weekend that you need to know about. So, Kay, let me welcome you to First Shift. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, give people a little foundational information about Jobs with Justice and what they're all about before we get into some of the specifics, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. It's actually a very good way to start. Jobs with Justice is a national organization made up of many other organizations. It's 25 years old. It began from a very simple premise, and that is that in a period, in a time, in a history in which workers and unions and people of communities, faith-based groups, are not always reaching a fair deal from the powers that be, that the thing that we need to do then is to come together, so that the national organization is made up of a coalition of faith, union, and community groups. We in the Southeast Michigan are exactly the same way. The organization was initiated about 15 years ago, 16 years ago, and we now have a steering committee made up of around 30, 35 organizations that are determined to, at every moment that we are needed and every moment we can, look out for the best interests of all working people in this community. I happen to work specifically with the Jobs Committee of JWJ. And finding that in our hearts continues to be looking out always for workers, for their families, for our lives, and for building a future together. So that, in a nutshell, that is what we're about. We look out for, defend, and protect the rights of all working people.
You know, and Kay, I think that anybody that just listened to what you had to say, you know, I'm going to hear a collective sigh of relief because we, you know, first of all, a lot of people weren't aware that you existed. In fact, we'll make sure that we get this posted to our Facebook page, both Great. The link to Southeast Michigan Jobs with Justice and the rally this weekend. Mm-hmm. But as I think about, you know, some of the stuff that we've really been focusing on since the first of the year about community building and some of the groups that we work with, including Occupy Detroit, a group that's important to the work you're doing as well, mm-hmm. you know, I stop and think, Kate, you know, at a time where we need each other probably more than we have in the last two decades or more, what a wonderful time for Jobs with Justice to be there for us and for people to discover them. Because, again, it's kind of like you're a secret that's a way, you know, that's out in the open that people just don't know about.
Well, you know, I think that we are in the tradition of most of the issues that have confronted workers throughout our U.S. history, throughout our country. And that is that there are these thousands and millions of unsung heroes that every day work hard out of love for their families, out of love for their communities, to make something better for working people. And so while we may be unknown as an organization, and thank you for allowing us to share who we are not unknown as the spirit and as the soul of an area like Detroit. So as you have a sigh of relief, and so do I, because there's some good people in this city, and you've named several of them now, the sigh of relief gives comfort because we can actually find each other, but we also know that our job is very tough right now. And that you know, I grew up in a very marginally poor family in Seattle, Washington, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and I prefer Detroit because of the honesty. But in Seattle, what I found and what I learned really young is the only way the only way democracy can be ensured and the only way change can make is that we don't have a lot of money and we don't always have a lot of formal power, but we have each other, and in that lays our strength. And that's the whole principle about the rally tomorrow.
Yeah, and let's talk about the rally tomorrow, yep. What this is all about. And then, of course, this comes at an important time for a lot of people.
Okay. Yeah, in 2010, Jobs of Justice locally decided to follow in the model of the National Jobs of Justice, and that's to go for a full employment program. We certainly took on a huge task, but the right to work, the ability to work, and not in the conservative sense, but the ability for a family to take care of itself is so fundamental to who we are. And yet, people were being laid off in droves, plants were shutting down in this area, young people were facing a future of, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And we decided, let's take this issue on. We began looking at how do you pull together the voices of those people most affected by the abandonment of Detroit by corporations and the money, the wasted money and greed coming from the previous administration. And we began to say, let's look at talking with people that themselves are confronting that issue of unemployment. And as we moved along, we decided that, you know, that is a really good thing to do. People need to speak on their own behalf, but we also need to move from being simply a protest organization, having a protest program, what we don't like, but let's start defining what we do need in Detroit, in the Detroit area, and how we can actually build for the future. So we started looking at what makes sense about having factories and plants closed, and what makes sense about having communities falling apart, being neglected and abandoned. And let's look at how we develop a jobs program that really emphasizes the need for manufacturing, the strengths of this area, and developing a manufacturing program that centers on a green economy. That we are moving from the Detroit area of Henry Ford and an assembly line that absolutely transformed the world, but now we realize has some consequence being an oil-based economy. And we said, let's have a very simple principle. We've got the people, we've got the plants, we've got the energy, we've got the need. Let's put that together. So then we began looking at developing the Green Jobs Program, which focused on wanting to and we will continue doing this, opening up now closed plants for green production. Then began looking at the fact of how we are living in our communities. One of the avenues for jobs is to be able to look at and find a solution for taking on some of the older housing in our communities that have been abandoned, run down, receiving no attention, and start to develop a weatherization program, which many other organizations are doing too. So, trying to figure out what are the resources we have, who are the people we have, what can we actually do, we've taken on the position that there's no reason, there's a very simple goal in this community, and that is to be able to match young unemployed people with the need for housing that it needs to be weatherized and made energy efficient. And the goal is very simple. The task, however, is very difficult, as everybody who's probably listening to this show knows, that the Republicans are stonewalling and opposing every action that starts to look at development of a serious jobs program. And when President Obama presented the American Jobs Act, it was just voted down. It was just demolished in terms of any support. So what was done was to take that Jobs Act and break it into some parts. And two of the parts that we are really going to be rallying around tomorrow is a program called Pathways Back to Work, which would look at the training of low-income young people and young adults, and investing up to $5 billion nationally for 18 to 24-year-olds to be able to begin to weatherize and take care of homes that are in need of repair and energy efficiency. What that would produce, if that bill were passed, is 370,000 jobs, and they would be summer and year-round jobs, equivalent to what happened with the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC camps, and during the New Deal.
Absolutely. And KB, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're a little short on time, so we need to get to some of the more important information, like where is this going to take place, what time, and so let's get to that.
All right. Well, the second part of the bill is to have money to come in to rehabilitate vacant plants and housing. The rally itself, it's a rally for weatherization. It's going to be held on tomorrow morning, Saturday the 28th of January. It's at the Greater St. Matthews Baptist Church, 396 LaBelle, Highland Park, Michigan, from 11 o'clock to 12:30. It's being sponsored by Southeast Michigan Jobs of Justice, and by Highland Park NAACP, along with Rainbow Push Detroit. So everybody, the church is located between Manchester and Woodrow Wilson, and on the east and the west side, and on the north side it's Oakman and Davison on the south side. The only thing that is going to make will make possible some of our goals for producing job is that everybody starts to come together and say, yeah, having a right to a job, a nice warm home, that's not a hard thing to do. That we refuse to accept the idea that there are disposable communities, disposable people, and that, as a matter of fact, as historically has been the case, when we come together, we can effect great change.
Well, I love that part especially because it goes back to the original tenet of my conversation with you today, which is about building community. And certainly that's what happens when good, mindful people come together with an expressed purpose to affect change. And I can think of no better way to do that than this week. And again, we're going to get all this up at the Facebook page, on the First Shift Facebook page. Kay Hallinan, thank you so much for being with us. I'll look forward to having you on again in the future.
Well, thanks, Tony. Can I give quickly the web address?
Yeah, absolutely, very quickly.
Okay, thank you. www.semjwj.org.
Right, and we'll again have that up on the Facebook page for those that are driving or don't have a way to write this stuff down. Kay Hallinan, thank you so much. Jobs with Justice, I'm sure it's going to be a great program. We got to get to the break. We'll be back with Occupy Detroit on the other side.
Thank you.
First Shift with Tony Trivio. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is attorney and medical marijuana patient himself, Matt Abel.
The people are way ahead of the government and our elected officials in this. Even people who are not interested in marijuana, who don't use it, never have, and don't plan to at all, they believe that prohibition of marijuana should end, that it's counterproductive. It's not the way we want to spend, an ineffective way to control drug usage if that's what you're trying to do. That it just sends it into the black market, it makes the cartels wealthy, and sends our money out of Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time of day. 7:50 means only one thing, at least in our universe, the First Shift universe. That means that Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift, and we've got a great guest today with a great message. By the way, before I get to the guest, because I find this statistic fascinating, Purgeon actually came out with this information. I think it was either earlier this week or last week, might even have been the week before. Are you aware that the Fortune 500 companies in the state of Michigan actually spend more on lobbying than they pay in federal taxes? They spend more on lobbying than they pay in federal taxes. That's an honest-to-God truism. That should be scary enough for you. Let me turn my attention to my guest today from Occupy Detroit. Joining us is Russell Hondred. He was present yesterday at a protest at Detroit Energy, DTE, as we know them, and he's here to talk about what was a very successful day for the Occupy movement. And, Russell, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be able to talk to you about this.
You know, isn't it kind of crazy, Russell? We stop and think that these companies, including DTE, spend much more in lobbying than they pay in federal taxes. There seems to be something wrong with that picture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially when you're talking about a company that has been based here in Detroit for such a long time in the midst of such a financial crisis here with the city.
Well, you know, and then on top of that, you stop and think about what they provide. They provide, you know, heating, and they provide electricity for millions of Michiganders, and they control a whole lot. At a time when our state legislature and even at the federal government is playing with assistance programs to very needy families, an economy that's still stressed, especially here in the state of Michigan, this idea that they aren't playing very fairly, and they're not playing very fairly. Well, that got the ire of about 300 people yesterday who showed up to protest and actually participated, I understand, in a sit-in.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We there was a march from the SEIU local. It consisted of labor, immigrants' rights groups, faith groups, and Occupy. And we went down to the DTE headquarters and marched right into the lobby. It was quite exciting. It was a really strong action. And we actually ended up getting concessions from DTE. So it was quite successful.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about. Russell, I'm assuming you were there. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So this is the way. And if I misrepresent something, you'll feel free to correct me. But I understand that at one point DT said, "You folks go or you're going to be arrested." You guys kind of draw a line in the sand and said, "No, let's have a dialogue." And a dialogue ensued where they agreed to do some things. What did they agree to do, Russell, with the protesters that were there yesterday?
Yeah, they agreed to negotiate with the protesters there. They agreed to sit down and look at their bills and negotiate the pricing and what they were making people pay.
And it's my understanding that they were actually quite nice about it as well.
Yeah. I mean, considering that they, on the other hand, they're cutting people's power off and making people go without heat during the winter. In this instance, they did threaten to arrest, although I don't think anyone was. In this instance, we could say that they were nice.
Well, you know, and then I also understand in the bigger picture they agreed to sit down next week with a group and to negotiate some bigger picture things than just individual people's individual bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They next week they're going to have a further negotiation that will include people who weren't necessarily present at this demonstration. So it was quite the action itself was quite successful in getting a response from DTE, and I think it just goes to show that these types of actions and these types of coalitions are really powerful and can force companies to listen.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's the important, again, this goes back to, we talked about it earlier, just in the last segment, we talked about it a couple times this week, Russell, in the larger picture, this is about building community, and I don't think I can underscore enough, we had Eric Shelley on earlier this week, and, we know that the Golden Gate project was delayed a little bit by, the theft of some tools. But it doesn't slow people down, and in fact, it helps to, in some ways, it helps to build community because we rally around each other and we want to help. And if that's the way it has to happen, we'd prefer it happen in a different way, of course. But if that's the way it has to happen, that's the way it has to happen. But Russell, the bottom line is whether it's 300 people coming together yesterday, and by the way, getting some major media attention. This was in both the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press. This was reported widely. We are building. We continue to build awareness, and we continue to build community. And I don't know. Ultimately, we have no clue, Russell, where this is heading. But we do know one thing: we are making a difference. People can guffaw all they want or make fun of if they want to. The bottom line is, Occupy Detroit continues to make a significant difference in Southeast Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think going along with your point about building community, one thing that we need to begin to realize and understand is that if people are without heat in the winter, it forces them into a position where they may have to do something like steal tools from a project that's working on rebuilding a community, and that making sure that people have access to electricity and heat, especially at this critical time, is essential. We should consider it a building block of creating stable and strong communities. So,
Russell Hundred, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much for being who you are, for everything you give to the movement. And we'll look forward to visiting with you again in the future. But thank you for what happened yesterday, and thanks for punching in with us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Russell, we got to take that break for the top of the hour. Joe DeSano on the other side. You got to know there's plenty to get to with Joe. Stay with us. First Shift will continue after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
Team 10. 710 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Still some accidents out there. Southbound 275 at Michigan Avenue. The right lane is blocked there. Southbound 75 at 9 Mile. The left lane is blocked. Expect some pretty heavy delays behind that. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy. 40% chance of snow before 9 a.m. Mostly sunny a little bit later on, a high near 38. Tonight, snow is likely, a low around 28. Then tomorrow, snow still going to fall, mostly in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's snowing and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Andy Rose. The CNN Republican debate last night produced a few fireworks just ahead of the Florida primary. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Jacksonville with more. Bob?
Well, it turns at the CNN Florida Republican Party debate, Newt Gingrich has been accused of lobbying for failed mortgage giant Freddie Mac when on the offensive against Mitt Romney.
Governor Romney owns shares of both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Governor Romney made $1 million off of selling some of that.
But have you checked your own investments? You also have investments through mutual funds that also invest in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Right. It's a hot topic because the Sunshine State has been hard hit with foreclosures. Andy?
Thank you, Bob. On the road yesterday, President Obama talked up his plans to sell off oil and gas leases for offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico.
Developing it could power our cars and our homes and our factories in a cleaner and cheaper way. The experts believe it could support more than 600,000 jobs by the end of the decade.
The oil industry wasn't too impressed. They call that old news. The president will be in Michigan today to talk about making college affordable. The two hostages that Navy SEALs freed in Somalia are now at a military base in Italy. CNN's Nkapile Mabuse tells us they're getting what's called reintegration treatment.
As you can imagine, they've gone through quite an ordeal, but it's still unclear when Jessica will be heading back to the United States. And if she does, it's probably going to be via military helicopters.
Jessica Buchanan and Paul Thisted were abducted in October. Ford is technically reporting its biggest profit in 13 years today, but stock traders aren't happy. Much of that profit comes from a one-time tax credit, they're claiming. Otherwise, they missed expectations. The man known as the Barefoot Bandit will be sentenced today. Colton Harris Moore is expected to get more than 5 years in federal prison. This is CNN Radio.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Another morning, another stack of earnings reports. Procter & Gamble reporting better than expected earnings. Ford missing forecasts because of high raw materials costs, even as sales blew out expectations and the company finished its best year since 1998. Pressure is building on Greece to pass more budget cuts and a series of long-promised austerity measures before the European Union and IMF hand over any more bailout money. So says Reuters, which says many European investors are beginning to bet the desired outcome will happen rather than the feared chaotic default, which could set off a debt domino effect across Europe. Fake online reviews are attracting more attention from the feds. New York Times reports regulators are stepping up their investigations of deceitful hyping of products sold online. By stacking review sections with glowing descriptions supplied by customers promised discounts for their hype and by the companies themselves. S&P futures gaining 2 points, NASDAQ futures up 8. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees, you're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint starts at a new lower price of $29.38 a gallon. Its lowest price ever. It's paint and primer in one, so it takes fewer coats and less time to cover any old color with any new color. It's the perfect time to break out the rollers because Behr Premium Plus Ultra Interior Paint now starts at just $29.38. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Home and C-Store for details.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome indeed. Welcome back for most of you. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday morning, the 27th of January, 2012. One of the things I love about this Friday, and then I'll love about next Friday, every Friday is a new Friday, which means every Friday we have a new agenda with Joe DeSano, who is a partner in Main Street Strategies. What I like about that is Joe is unafraid to talk about the stuff that we need to talk about. For some of you, he's a little out there, but that's kind of the benefit of having the relationship that we have with not only Joe, but with Main Street Strategies in and of themselves, is that we really do give you information that can be difficult for some of you to swallow. Because, honestly, Joe's not afraid to talk about, quote-unquote, our side in a realistic and truthful light. This hour, I'm going to kind of reaffirm that. You'll find out what I mean here momentarily. In the meantime, you're always welcome to join us. I just ask that you stay topical to the guest. Obviously, in the open line time, you can do whatever you want, but when we've got a guest, stay topical to the guest, and you're always welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. I also want to thank you, folks, this morning. I'd ask you to go out and get me enough likes to get us over the 900 mark. We are now at 901. Thank you so much. Now we are on that elusive 1,000. We will get there. Maybe took a little longer than I thought it would, but I'm happy to say that we're working our way. Why does it matter? Somebody sent me an email. Tony, why does this whole Facebook thing matter to you? Why it matters to me, and I'm just going to be really honest with you. Because it's one way for us to measure that we're having impact. And, you know, listen, the interaction we have with the audience, that, you know, that's great. The emails we get, the phone calls we get, that's all wonderful. But the social media aspect's important as well. And we've made a concerted effort to grow our Twitter, and Jeff has taken on that project and done an amazing job to grow our Twitter presence. We, of course, want to grow our Facebook presence. We want to make a difference. That's the point of doing this. I don't do this just to collect a paycheck. there's a reason why I speak at as many places as I speak at. We're trying to make a difference. This isn't just about, you know, doing 3 hours of radio, then going home and doing nothing the rest of the day. If it were that easy, well, it wouldn't be me, and I wouldn't be doing it. Anyway, go ahead, guys. Give me my intro, and let's get going.
With his razor-sharp precision, First Ship welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
Let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and marvel at how adept the governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
And Joe is back with us, my brother. It is a pleasure to have you back on First Shift. Thanks for, again, taking the time on this early Friday morning to be with us.
No, I'm out there. This is fun.
Yeah.
I think I'm right in the mainstream, or at least trying to move the mainstream.
Well, I got to tell you, there's news, breaking news coming out of the Main Street Strategies office this morning, and it just so happens, let me preface what I'm about to say, Joe, by letting you know that on Monday we have the city manager of Troy on the program, and there's a couple reasons why I've asked him to join us very briefly, and then I'm going to get to your breaking news. Number one, I think that Troy is an important cog in the Southeast Michigan business wheel. In fact, they may be the center of that wheel. And so I wanted to make sure that this audience gets to check in with the city manager to make sure that the damage that Janice Daniels is doing isn't hurting the city's business acumen and gravitas, because they do have some, and I want to make sure that's protected at some level. And number two, I don't know if you followed the news this week, but in the Oakland Press, the city manager actually had written the mayor a letter defending himself because he's afraid that she is now ruining his personal reputation. Normally, I wouldn't focus on something like that, but I think in this circumstance, he needs a little help.
Yeah, actually, I think he does, too. And he seems to be holding his own in this running feud with her. But the breaking news we're going to talk about is last night, MichiganLiberal.com, run by Mr. Eric Barron, and my company, Main Street Strategies, put a poll in the field of voters who participated in last November's municipal race, which elected Janice Daniels to the mayor's office. And in that poll, we asked a couple questions. One, would you support a recall of Janice Daniels? And we put that out there, you know, just to see what would happen. I mean, we don't really have a real agenda other than just curiosity. And the poll results came back incredibly startling. Over 72% of voters who participated in that election back in November would support a recall of Janice Daniels. And 76% of voters who participated in that election are dissatisfied with her performance in office and the controversies therein. And what's really interesting about this is she snuck in office with just a bare majority. I'm not even sure she cracked 51% of the vote. This was a razor-thin election. So just in a matter of 2 months, she has shifted the electorate against her in a manner that I've not really seen. I think she's given those voters the biggest case of buyer's remorse I've ever seen in politics.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My audience, who can be very, very forgiving and very, very supportive and caring, when it comes to Janice Daniels, we've run a couple things the last couple weeks, they are adamant that the citizens of Troy need to wear this and own this, that it's their own damn fault that this happened, and only they can correct it. And it's kind of hard to argue with that, Joe. But here we go. You're not a big recall guy, right? I mean, you know.
No, I'm not. I put this out there just as a test to satiate my curiosity. I mean, basically that's it. I mean, if there's going to be a recall of her, that's got to be generated and run by folks from the city of Troy. Maybe this poll will help cement that decision if they're talking about it. But the fact of the matter is, you've got a woefully ignorant public official. I mean, this woman's just pug stupid. And she's an embarrassment to the city, Oakland County, Metro Detroit, and the state of Michigan. I mean, she's made national news several times now. And just the latest with this running feud with the city manager, I'm proud of that guy, man. He's fighting her tooth and nail, and he should continue to do so because she's out there to destroy his career, accusing him of opening his mail, which apparently has been opening her mail, excuse me, and that's been standard procedure.
In any city government, Joe, I mean, that one blew my mind. In any city government, yeah. If you think the mayor is opening their own damn mail, that's a city that doesn't get it.
Well, when you have what's called a weak mayor, where a city manager actually runs the day-to-day business and the mayor is mostly a ceremonial duty, and the mayor's not there every day at 9 a.m., or even earlier to make the city run like the city manager does. Yeah, it's totally standard operating procedure for that mail to be opened. This is just an example of her stupidity and, frankly, paranoia that I think runs rampant through the Tea Party.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question. Well, anyway, we're going to get into those nitty-gritty bits and pieces on Monday's show and very much... looking forward to that. Again, Joe, I'm doing this really as a public service to the city of Troy, to the people that have made commitments there, that have built businesses there, that have built community. I want to make sure that the story gets out, that everything is fine, that the city manager is doing his job, and that, you know, people can relax and take a deep breath.
But you know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think things are fine. I think the reputation of the city of Troy has taken an incredible hit in the past 2 months based on this woman's ignorance. I mean, whether we like it or not, she is the official figurehead for the city.
That is true. That there is no question that is true. And it's a shame that the city manager even had to go to the extent of writing this well-written. And I read it all, every single word of it, well-written, well-researched, well-produced, well-thought-out letter that should have never, ever had to have happened. Shame on Janice Daniels for once again forcing good people to do something and wasting their... This is a waste of this man's time. It's a waste of his time, but he had to do it. He had no choice.
Well, Janice Daniels is the rare example of stupidity that veers almost to evil. So just, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
Her stupidity is resulting in evil acts.
What kind of response are you getting to this poll? I realize it's early and it just came out last night.
Well, we did the poll last night, and I put the press release out about 10 o'clock last night. There's been a lot of Twitter and Facebook play, but we haven't heard from any official news outlets as of yet. I expect... maybe the response to be a little bit delayed because I think a lot of the media is focused on the president's visit. I think we'll start to see some play here in the next 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think that's true as well. Joe, we need to take
go to MichiganLiberal.com because they'll have the press release up. And of course, Eric Barron will have his crackerjack analysis there. So make sure you do that.
Absolutely. We, of course, love Eric over at MichiganLiberal.com, and we love Main Street Strategies. Joe DeSano's my guest. A lot more to get to, including what some are considering a mess in the 14th, or is it an opportunity, or is it, I don't know, what is it? Well, we'll unravel a little bit of that and certainly get Joe DeSano's take on this. There are four candidates. Will there be more? One of them probably not too happy with Joe this morning. It'll make a lot more sense on the other side. Stay with us.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at an accident southbound 75 at 9 Mile. The left lane is blocked. Traffic gets backed up to 14 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny with the clouds getting out of the area here shortly. A high near 38. Tonight, snow likely after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low around 28. And then Saturday, snow is likely. Mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now it's cloudy and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift,
April DeBoer and Jane Rao join us now.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them, but in any, you know, an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, you know, really hit home as our kids get bigger. You know, we really want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that, their rights are protected, and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefit that a married couple and their children are currently receiving.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. You know, maybe we need to get that that boxing bell. Ding, ding, round one. What was it? Wednesday morning, we bookended our show, Joe, with Congressman Hanson Clark giving his take on the State of the Union and Congressman Gary Peters, at the end of the show, giving his take on the State of the Union. I guess I might have invited Mary Waters and Brenda Lawrence and just had some kind of political orgy at that point. Joe, the 14th is getting really interesting, and you certainly have an opinion on what's happening there.
I do, but before I say that, let me say I love when you come back from break with the Stones. Can you hear me knocking? God, that fires me up.
Well, I'm glad. Well, we want to fire you up. Feel free to send musical selections along. We'll be happy to accommodate you.
Oh, right on. Well, anyways, to your point, yeah, it's turning into a potential political bloodbath on the 14th. So, in the past past week, we've seen Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence join the race, and former State Representative Mary Waters join the race as well. I think it remains to be seen if they actually, can garner the signatures to get on the ballot. Mary Waters at least has shown that ability in the past when she almost took Congressman Kilpatrick got to overtime in a real tight race 4 years ago. But we had, Miss Lawrence took offense to one of my thumbnail analyses of the race where I said that this was actually her entrance in the race was actually a good development for Gary Peters. And my thinking there was, well, you know, it divides the African-American vote, and that benefits Peters. And so she responded on Twitter in a manner where she, you know, took me to task and went back and forth, and she was very unhappy. But remember last segment when I talked about a weak mayor?
Yeah.
That's what Southfield has set up. That city's run by a very capable, from what I can tell, city manager. The mayor, much like Janice Daniels, is a ceremonial post and really just a city council person with a title, with a larger title. And I don't really understand what she's doing getting into this race. I don't think she has a chance in hell of winning. One of the ways you thumbnail these races is to kind of look at a person's history. She's, by all accounts and by the numbers, very popular within the city of Southfield. I think Gary Peters will compete with her there very, very strongly, and I think he'll actually end up winning the city. So I don't think she has much of an electoral base. She's planning on her gender being an issue.
And she actually pointed that, she did point that out as well, didn't she, Joe, that she thought being a female actually helps her?
I think it very well might if it were an open seat. You see what I mean? I think we're talking about the fact of the matter is you're going to have Gary Peters who could spend $4 million in this race. You've got Hanson Clark. You know, both of these are sitting incumbent congressmen thrown together. And to think that they're going to spend between them upwards of $5 to $6 million and somehow this mayor of a small city with a limited base, a rather spotty electoral history. I mean, in the past two elections, she's ran for lieutenant governor, brought absolutely nothing to the table to help put Virgil Bonero over the top. She didn't go out there and hound the governor like the lieutenant governor nominee should. She didn't bring a surge of energy and enthusiasm among the African American community that she was expected to bring. I mean, she really brought little to the table. She got her clock cleaned by L. Brooks Patterson 4 years ago, 3 years ago. So she clearly has her eyes set on higher office. The fact of the matter is, though, this is not the one she should be running for. I'm not sure there is one, but she's got a minimal chance of winning, and I think she took exception to me pointing that out.
Well, she has every right to do that. Somebody just sent me an email. Let me just read it to you because it's correcting some information. It says that Mayor Lawrence does not have a vote on the city council and has veto power and delivers the budget, not quite the same as a weak mayor. So I just wanted to share that with you, Joe.
Well, that's good to know. The fact of the matter is she's still not running that city.
Let me stop for a minute. I'm going to separate and just bear with me for a minute, Joe. I want to separate the two congressmen, Clark and Peters, from Waters and Lawrence. Let's just talk about raising money to be competitive. Mary Waters is going to have a very difficult time raising money. She still has some serious issues to get over with the whole Sam Riddle connection. People don't easily forget. It's not been that long. I don't know that she, when she ran for the state house, of course she had to raise money to do that, but she's never had to raise the kind of money it will take to make her a serious candidate. She kind of enters the race, as does Brenda Lawrence, in my opinion, a little bit late. So let's talk a pure money standpoint. Can either one of them raise enough money to be competitive?
No. And let me preface my statement about Mary Waters this way. I think she's a lovely person. I had the pleasure of working with her when she was a member of the state legislature. You'll never find a nicer woman.
I agree.
A more kind woman. But this race is much different than the race 4 years ago, because now this is going to be a race that the price of admission is much greater. In fact, you've got a situation where Gary Peters, I believe, has already $2 million. This race is going to, the price of entry, I think, is at least $1 million. And there's no way that either of these women can raise that kind of money. No one's even going to know they're in the race if you know, Clark spends $2 million and Gary spends $4 million. There's just they're not going to be able to punch through the media traffic to show people that they're viable candidates.
And again, I know a lot of people don't necessarily follow local politics outside of their own local politics, if they even do that. You know, Gary Peters was a state lawmaker as well. He's not unknown to the new 14th district. Hanson Clark is very much a rookie, although he's certainly known in the Detroit part of his district. Outside of that, he's not a known quantity. And in fact, as much as I love Congressman Clark, let's be honest about it, he was pretty much known as being the eccentric guy in the state house or in the state senate. I mean, a very nice man, but quite eccentric for a lot of people. He surprised me as a congressman. He's done a stellar job, Joe. I think
there's very little criticism of his job as a congressman, and it's a shame those voters have to make that choice between the two. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's easier for Clark to, it's easier for Gary Peters to go get votes in Detroit than it is for Hanson Clark to go to Oakland County and get votes.
No, very true. Joe, we got to take a break. Hold that thought. We will come back. A lot more to get to, including taking a look at some of the Republican folly that's going on as well. Joe DeSano, again, my guest. He's a partner in Main Street Strategies. I am Tony Truppiano. A quick break here on First Shift. You're listening to 1310. WDTW, we will be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Some good news, that accident we had southbound 75 and 9 Mile, that has cleared. The delays remain, though. Traffic is still backed up and slow from around 14 Mile. 94 eastbound at Wayne Road, that accident has just cleared as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 38. Tonight, snow is likely, mostly cloudy, a low around 28. And Saturday, snow is likely, mostly cloudy, a high in the lower 30s, gusty winds out of the west as well. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
But I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Great news, people. A hot spot of non-spotted ladybugs has been spotted in Amagansett, New York. This uplifting story is a rich organic mixture of state pride, nature's resilience, America's scientific pluck, teamwork, serendipity, and bug love. In today's hard times, we need this. Let's start with the bug. This ladybug is the classic Cochinellidae beetle with exactly 9 black spots on its red back. A benevolent and delightful creature, it's beloved by everyone from children to farmers. So beloved that it is the official insect of New York State. Sadly, and somewhat embarrassingly, however, this state official has bugged out of the state. The last recorded sighting of this ladybug species in New York was 29 years ago. Apparently a victim of competition from imported Asian and European ladybug species, as well as pesticides and the loss of habitat, only 90 of the native 9 spotteds have been seen in all of North America in the past decade. But since 2000, a team of diligent Cornell University entomologists and volunteers have kept up the search through Cornell's Lost Ladybug Project. The searchers persisted, even when New York's legislators tried in 2006 to abandon the bug that seemingly had abandoned the state. Luckily, though, legislative inertia killed that effort to replace the state insect, and the Ladybug Project kept faith and kept looking. Then, this summer, lo and behold, a volunteer spotted one sitting pretty as you please in a patch of sunflowers on an organic farm in Amagansett. About 20 more were subsequently found on the farm amidst rows of carrots, beans, and flowers, enough for the project to establish a reproducing colony, while also building confidence that more will be discovered. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with this bit of good bug news, go to lostladybug.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Joe DeSano with us, 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let's wrap up our conversation on the 14th Congressional District. It's getting a lot of attention, and it should, Joe, get a lot of attention. It's an important piece of real estate here in southeast Michigan. Want to correct something to make sure that people understand. You don't have to live in a congressional district to represent that congressional district. Whether Hanson Clark or Gary Peters ends up winning that, neither one of them live in the new 14th. Brenda Lawrence and Mary Waters actually do live in the new 14th. I don't think it's going to matter at the end of the day.
No, and that's the power of television. But the Constitution is pretty clear that you just have to be a resident of the state. You don't have to be a resident of the actual congressional district. That's a little quirk in the rules. But I'm sure both Hanson Clark and Gary Peters will establish residencies if they already haven't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't concern myself. You know, I got to tell you, one of the things that, you know, one of the realities of politics and redistricting and losing, unfortunately, lots of citizens, Joe, and in fact, we may, if we don't turn this thing around, we could see that we could lose another congressional seat here in the next census. But before I get too far ahead of myself, you know, one of the negatives is we're going to end up losing some political capital after this election. We lose a congressional seat. We lose another voice in D.C. So that's important.
Right, and we lost a congressional seat in the 2000.
Census.
Excuse me, 2000 census.
Yeah.
And I believe we lost one in 1990, too.
Yeah.
So we have a steady loss here, unless you're right, we turn things around.
And we need to do that. In fact, of course, that battle was the infamous Lynn Rivers-John Dingell battle, which John Dingell obviously won. And again, we lost a great congresswoman in Lynn Rivers at that point. In fact, a true progressive when we weren't placing a value on real progressives in the Democratic Party, she was already there. So anyway, it'll be fascinating to see how all this plays out. I got to ask you, here we are, you know, February is almost on top of us. When do they really start turning the heat up on these primary races, Joe?
You know, right now I think they're all in organizational mode and fundraising mode. I would not be surprised if we start to see some actual muscles being flexed in the April, May time period.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's just move on because there is our own Debbie Stabenow is running for re-election, and they need to choose, the Republicans, that is, they need to choose who she will run against. How's that race going?
Well, the Free Press released a poll last night showing that that former Congressman Pete Hoekstra is leading the pack of seven dwarves by, I believe, 40%. I believe that you know, after 18 years in Congress and just coming off a hard-fought Republican primary a year and a half ago, I would think that that Hoekstra would be doing better than 40%. But if this race comes down to a binary choice between Pete Hoekstra and either Clark Durant or Gary Glenn, I think Pete Hoekstra could be in deep, some deep trouble. Right now you have the Tea Party and some of the Tea Party affiliates kind of jockeying and kind of working through the issue of who's going to be their standard bearer. I think they're beginning to kind of open their eyes up to the process of politics and realize that there can only be one. If you really want to make your Tea Party candidate the Republican standard bearer, because Pete Hoekstra obviously is the standard bearer for kind of business as usual and the Republican establishment. But you're starting to see the Tea Party really pile on to Pete Hoekstra, and that's why Pete is being very selective of what Tea Party forums he goes to. He's skipping the vast majority of them. And now the Tea Party is becoming deeply offended that he's ignoring them, and now they're starting to pile on. And there was a debate that Pete chose not to. Pete did appear at this Tea Party forum, and Gary Glenn just tore into him. And to me, here's the money quote, and this is Gary Glenn speaking of Pete Hoekstra. Quote, if you vote for the $850 billion Wall Street bailout and raise the debt ceiling to $11 trillion, then Hoekstra's the same as Debbie Stabenow, unquote. That is a damning, damning hit in a Republican primary.
Well, and you know, you don't even need that to be a Tea Party, the conversation. You're right, and a Republican, you know, that's a Republican tenant, not just a Tea Party a talking point. So, yes, you know, and it, what's fascinating is, of course, you know, we don't need to go back too many years to find a Republican, because all of them have done it, have voted for to raise the debt ceiling how many times? It's only when the Tea Party made it a big deal this last time that it became something that was shameful. I do have to ask you, though, and I don't know if you saw the poll that was in yesterday's Detroit Free Press, but WXYZ-TV here in the Detroit area did a poll, and it showed that 37% of the people polled now support the Tea Party, down from 47%. I have no reason to believe that those numbers won't continue to slip. My question to you is, does the Tea Party still have influence, if only within the Republican Party?
I think they have broad influence. I would concur with the poll results that their influence is slipping. I think the Tea Party gives establishment Republicans the willies. They're the people causing establishment Republicans to stay up at night and suck their thumbs. So yeah, I think their impact is mostly going to be felt in Republican primaries, starting from the presidency all the way down to the local school board. So they're marginalizing themselves in the general public and the general election audiences. But I think they're going to be an enduring force when it comes to Republican primaries if they can not split their votes up as they are in the presidential race, and it seems right now as they are in the U.S. Senate primary.
Wow. Again, it's fascinating to watch this all unfold. And, of course, as Chris Mihalakis loves to quote you, you know, on that Republican violence that you love so much. Let's just move on for the sake of time. We only have a few minutes left this week, Joe DeSano, and we do want to mention another story that broke this week, although it didn't come as a huge surprise to me. Charles Pugh, the current Detroit City Council president, has announced this week he wouldn't be running for reelection. I was a little surprised by that, although he says he never intended to be more than a one-term council person. I found that odd. In fact, I find it to be actually untruthful, but that's okay. He said it. We'll go with it. I do think he has his eyes set on the mayor's office, and I think that's why he's made this decision. Your thoughts?
I think he's had his eyes on the mayor's office from the day he announced. I think he realized it was a bridge too far in his first race. And he was very savvy in being able to parlay his personality on his name ID and ability to build that name ID as a TV personality into votes. But going into a race where it's going to be a binary choice between A and B, I think his behavior in office has been spotty at best. You've got brewing scandals about his foundation and campaign financing. You've got his public refusal to cut his benefits and salary as a city council person. He voted no. You've got his impending foreclosure. Just the basic question of will the voters of Detroit, as the city faces unprecedented fiscal problems, elect a mayor who can't even pay his mortgage?
I would hope not.
That's just a basic question that I think voters will say no to. You've also got a bunch of other issues out there that I think are looming for him. I'll tell you what. I think there needs to be a change in mayor in the city of Detroit. I think you need someone with a common touch, with an understanding of what the folks living there deal with day to day. I don't think that Mr. Pugh, Councilman Pugh, is really the answer. And I think he'll be able to, I hate to use this as a qualification, but I think he'll be able to raise the money to be competitive. I just don't think his story is that compelling. And I think, frankly, his record is lacking considerably. If he wants to be a real candidate,
I would agree with everything you said. These are serious times, and the next candidate mayor of Detroit needs to be a very serious person. Dave Bing wouldn't have. I did not support him. In fact, I would have been happier had Ken Cockrell been elected mayor than Dave Bing being elected.
I did support Mayor Bing. Did a little bit of work for his campaign, and frankly, I regret it.
Well, fair enough. I'm not a big fan of his management style. Anyway, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there for now. But always great to visit with you. We'll, of course, look forward to next week. Like I said, we started this off. The greatest thing about every Friday is it gives us a new chance with Joe DeSoto, and I love that about Fridays.
Well, I love it about Friday, too, and thank you for your friendship and kindness.
You bet. Joe DeSoto with Main Street Strategies. Thank you again for your generous amount of your time. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back, wrap things up on the other side, get things closed off. Give us a call, though, if you got something on your mind. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
Chip with Tony Trivia.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is, Bob Ficano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Ficano has never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. And so I don't wish him ill, because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 9 o'clock as we get ready to wrap things up for this week and for today. Jeff, I just got an email. I'm gonna read it verbatim. I'm just gonna read it verbatim, and then I want to comment on it. But I'm gonna need a little help with this. And this is what the guy writes. I'm assuming it's a guy. It could be a woman, but I think it's a man. If your union dues went to Republican causes, would you have a problem with this? Why should a Republican who would like the good benefits be forced to give to Democratic causes? This, I think, is very unfair. There should be no party affiliation with the unions. Their mission should be doing, I think you meant to say going for workers only. Let me just say that every dollar that goes to a political cause or a candidate is well thought out, is well reasoned, is voted on in committee, is weighed, is every way you can possibly weigh it. Unions do support Republican causes and issues and candidates. Let's be clear on that. Now, the vast majority of this stuff goes to Democratic causes and candidates. That would be ridiculous of me to ascertain otherwise. I buy that. I buy that hook, line, and sinker. Listen, if you have a problem with where your union dues are going, there's a process in order to protest that. You're either not aware of that or you've not exercised that right. Do so. Okay? Do so. Jeff, here's what I need help with. He puts a P.S. I apologize for all the hateful emails I sent. I am really a nice person, and those emails were uncalled for, so again, I am very sorry. Here's the problem. These hate-filled emails that he sends are death threats, are against the president. He wishes me great harm and great ill. He has even said that I should have a heart attack on my way to a speaking gig. Is this the kind of person I want to forgive?
Well, you can accidentally write an email like that and accidentally send it away and still be the, I don't know. I don't know how to make up for that. You actually have a thought in your mind, and you go in. I can honestly say, Tony, I've never sent somebody a death threat. You know why? Because it's not something you do on accident.
Well, I'm a very compassionate, caring person, and Jeff, you now know me well enough to know that that is a factual statement. I am very fair to everybody that writes me, that calls. I go out of my way to be considerate and contemplative and thoughtful. I also believe in the religious tenet that you are to forgive, that you should turn the other cheek. And I do that very often. And I harbor no ill will against most people. This particular emailer has been doing this since May 2nd, the day I was on the air. He decided, or she decided, to begin writing me way back then.
Dedication.
Well, okay, we'll go with that. Let me just say this. You don't need my forgiveness. What you need to do is forgive yourself and then decide, you know, how it is you want to live your life moving forward. My forgiveness shouldn't matter. I accept your apology? I'll absolutely accept your apology. If you want to have a responsible dialogue, disagreeing moving forward, then why don't you stop hiding behind your anonymity, which is something that drives me nuts, emailers that hide who they are. I guess ultimately it doesn't matter, but I've never called anybody out on air. I've never identified somebody individually, and I would never do that. That's irresponsible. But to hide behind an email address that's nothing but a bunch of letters and numbers that don't mean anything, to me, is cowardice. And I've said that before. We'll leave it there. Let's go to the phone so we can get this thing wrapped up for today. Mark and Warren joins us now. Mark, appreciate you taking the time to call First Shift this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Jeff. Happy Friday. In regards to that email, you're absolutely right. A lot of our money does go to Democrats. But you know what? At times right now, I'm an executive board member on our union, and we mull over. We do not write blank checks anymore because not every Democrat is right now a proponent of what we believe. So to think that we're just a bunch of sheep being herded in is quite presumptuous and insultuous, as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of thought that goes into this, and I hear that argument often. I have a friend, acquaintance of sorts, who doesn't like the unions because that money goes to Democrats and that money goes to abortionists. Well, first of all, none of my dollars go to abortionists, number one. Number two, I'm a person that believes in not getting in the business of people's families, but that's another subject. So I just wanted to weigh in and agree with you here, Tony, and thank you for you know, the goodness you're trying to spread through week day by day during the week.
No, and Mark, and I appreciate that. You know, and am I wrong in saying that if I oppose something, that there is a process to voice that opposition?
There absolutely is a process in our union. It's called COPE. It's a COPE fund. The budget is brought up at union meetings. It's brought up at executive board meetings. It's discussed. The shame of it is to get participation in that process is almost like pulling teeth. It's the same people all the time. It's a small group. As you said earlier today, that a lot of folks don't know their local politics. You ask 9 out of 10 people who their local mayor or their local representative or senator is. Most of them don't know.
You know, Mark, you say that. I had somebody write me earlier this week about an issue that was very specific to them, which is why I didn't bring it up on air. And what they needed to do was get in touch with their congressman. And this person had written me multiple times. We had this chain of emails going on. And I said, do you know who your congressman is? And I'm not going to say the name, but he gave me the name of his state rep. So I said, no, the federal level. Who's your congressman at the federal level? He gave me Debbie Stabenow's name. Okay, you know what? Give me your address, and I will figure out. His congressman happened to be John Dingell. But I had to figure out for him who his congressman was.
It's easy nowadays. Not only that, you can see your voting, their voting patterns. I know exactly who Senator Beda and Representative John Swatowski. I know what their voting record is on all those union bills that went down last year and the ones, you know, the upcoming. John, of course, is very opposed to them. Of course, Senator Beda is as well. And they're spot on. You know, if they weren't, I would be at a lot more of their coffee hours.
Yeah, but and John and Mark, but you also have to hold them accountable, which means you have to pay attention to what they're voting on. You need to know it. We're out of time for today. Mark, thanks so much. A nice way to end the week. I appreciate it. All right, Jeff and Anthony, I'm assuming that you guys are going to have a good weekend. We don't have time to get into it, but enjoy yourselves. Great week. Thank you for everything, guys. I want to also thank this amazing audience. Mark, thank you for that call. It was very nice. In the meantime, if you need me off the air, TonyShow.org. My office number, by the way, is at thetonyshow.org. If you want to contact me or call me in my office, feel free to do that. I'm there during normal business hours. Well, give me time to get home from the show. But beyond that, I'm there during normal business hours. That'll do it for me for a day. Enjoy your weekend. Have a great time, whatever it is you're going to do. Be careful on the roads. It's going to get a little weird today. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got an accident out there, 94 eastbound Ecorse Road. Traffic is backed up to Merriman. Also, southbound 75 between 14 mile and 8 mile. You'll find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 30s. Tonight, snow showers are likely late, mostly cloudy, a low around 28. Tomorrow, snow continues, could see up to 1 or 2 inches, mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. I get it.